We seem to be part of a dying breed, those of us still committed to traditional marriage. But something that used to be part of the typical traditional marriage is also close to extinction. I'm talking about a marriage in which only one spouse works outside the home. As we have discussed in recent Licensed Parent broadcasts, both parents working outside the home just to make ends meet is now the new norm. Now, consequently, the simplicity, the margin, and I would say even the vitality of the good old days of parenting has been lost, or at least forgotten, putting parent coaching at the top of the Christmas list for most folks these years. Getting by with a little help from our friend, the coach, today on Licensed to Parent. Well, hello and welcome to the program, coming to you again from a beautiful horse farm in the northeast Georgia mountains known as Shepherd's Hill. Licensed to Parent is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program helping teens in crisis. Our host is Trace Embry, the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill, and I'm Rich Rosel. And aside from the horses and the six shooters we carry, the other reason Trace and I do this program is because we're also each the fathers of five kids. We have faced many parenting challenges, and we see others struggle with them every day. So we're trying to take our personal experiences, but also what we've learned here at the Shepherd's Hill Proving Grounds, and use that to help equip you to be the best parent you can be. And Trace, we are not doing this alone. We have brought in a ringer, author and family and parenting coach Mitch Schultz, who, by the way, those who listened last week got to hear part of Mitch's story as he and his wife Elaine talked about book, Fires of Sorrow. Mitch, by the way, has written four books altogether. He is back with us today, though, not as an author, but in his capacity. And this, by the way, is something we didn't even mention last time. Mitch has joined the staff here at Shepherd's Hill, working alongside others, to be the parent coach and to share his vision with helping parents deal with the issues of our day.
Yeah, I've known Mitch for some time now. His daughter Brianna and his son-in-law Mike, both minister here at Shepherd's Hill Academy. But we really got to know Mitch and Elaine last time, and if you missed it, I'd encourage you to listen back to that program. When you go from the spiritual and experiential highs of pastoring a church to the depths of spiritual and experiential lows of bearing one of your children and almost losing and having to convalesce your spouse from the gates of death, you might just be able to coach another mom or dad through some of the more common trials of 21st century parenting.
Yeah.
And there are so many people out there needing this kind of help today, Rich. Yeah.
Well, Mitch, welcome back to Licensed to Parent Round 2.
It's good to be here and good to be covering another topic today.
Well, the last time we talked about parent coaching, we asked Vicki Piazzi what she tells people when she's asked about parent coaching. So I'm going to ask you the same thing. What is parent coaching?
Wow. It's a challenge to answer that question because people really haven't heard that term that often. And usually you have to distinguish it from counseling.
Yeah.
And generally what I do is I use the analogy of a line with minuses and pluses. And with counseling, you're working with a line with minuses where you're helping people move up the line to pluses. And generally working with crisis and trying to help someone out of a crisis as opposed to coaching, you're assuming that there are pluses and you're helping people understand that they have strengths, that they have things that that they can work with.
Is one more preventative maintenance than the other?
I would think so. And I think in the context of parenting, particularly with biblical parenting, you want to build up the confidence with the family that they have, for example, biblical authority as parents, that they have the Holy Spirit, that they have the tools, that they have the Scripture.
And someone on their side to affirm that what they believe about parenting and Scripture is valid.
Yes. And so when you come into a crisis, for example, you're not there as a counselor to tell them what to do. You instead are referring to the principles of Scripture.
Sure.
And that they have the privilege and the burden and the responsibility to appropriate those principles And so, again, you're working with the pluses there that you already have the resources and the tools, and you as the coach are there to point to those and to help them to understand those, to apply them, to urge them, to remind them of them, to come back again, you know, the next week or the next month to ask how you're doing with those, and call them to account, make them accountable.
Sure.
Sometimes to maybe be a little strong if they are not.
Yeah. Well, that's what coaches do.
They slap them in the back.
They get more out of you than you can get out of yourself.
And I think counselors don't necessarily do that. Right. They'll keep telling you you need to do. They're trying to urge you on and encourage you, but they may not hold your feet to the fire quite the way that a coach would.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. And, you know, the other ministry I'm in is a ministry called Fruitful Vine Ministry, where I work with pastors and people in ministry. I pastored for 30 years, and I did a lot of counseling. And generally, when people came to me for counseling, I would tell them what to do, and they would leave. It's like a doctor writing a prescription, and they would go and do what you asked them to do. And I found now, and I think it's a season in life, I don't tell people what to do anymore. I listen to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I help them listen to the Holy Spirit. In fact, I often will tell pastors or anyone I'm talking to, I'll say, hey, my goal here is to help you listen to Jesus, and then I want to walk with you to be obedient, to help you be obedient to what Christ is saying to you, and then let's see what that means. Mm-hmm. What does obedience to the Holy Spirit mean? And then let's walk that journey together.
Sure.
There are a lot of life coaches out there, and I dare say most of them probably don't come from a pastoral background, as you do. And not every parenting coach would necessarily have to come from a pastoral background, but speak to the importance of having that biblical worldview as a parenting coach, or when looking for a parenting coach. Why is that so key to success?
Well, again, because you have a biblical framework, and the responsibility in parenting is based on a mandate, a responsibility to raise your children according to the Word of God.
And Scripture has had a history, a track record of success,
you know? Yes,
and I can tell you that you know, the kids that are getting healed here at Shepherd's Hill, it is really nothing more than the fact that they're learning to live in an environment where everyone takes their life and moral cues from Scripture, and it breeds a sense of security, belonging, identity, love, boundaries, among other things, that this postmodern world just says, you know, do your own thing, you know, and that just takes away all security from kids and parents when they don't know where that boundary is. And my question to you is, why have so many Christian parents abandoned biblical principles, the authority of Scripture? It's almost like they're afraid to look medieval or something. I don't know what the case is, but it's like they love God, they go to church, but when the rubber hits the road as far as implementing biblical principles with their kids, it's like they need a coach to say, hey, whoa, let's bring back the center.
I was thinking about this driving over here today. Had about an hour and a half drive, and I think part of it is I think we're thrown off by culture today. Things are
Absolutely.
Happening so fast that parents are reeled. They don't know how to respond. I look at what I had to deal with in raising my children, and if we were suddenly faced with what is inundated today, what parents are having to face today, with the rapidity of it, I don't know if I would have been able to adjust so quickly. So I think that that's part of it, is parents don't know what to do with it. And so obviously the recourse there is parents need to understand what's happening in culture and know how to respond to it. The other is fear. I think parents are afraid to respond to it perhaps it's out of fear of losing their kids. And I mean, one of the things I'm beginning to, as I'm getting involved in this coaching, is a fear of their children turning against them, which is again, if you have a correct biblical understanding of authority and the role of the parent in the home, it's not based on fear. You know, confidence, allows you to respond to the need in the home with discipline and authority. And even if there's a reaction, if it's done out of righteousness, you do it regardless of what the response is.
Perform for an audience of one, as we tell our kids here and our parents here. Do you feel like parents feel like they're being ganged up on by culture and that they're maybe perhaps submitting to a peer pressure themselves? I mean, we usually think of kids submitting to peer pressure, but I think there's a ton of parental peer pressure from the talking heads on TV, from their neighbors, and unfortunately, a lot of people in the church.
Yeah, and when we talked about this last week, you mentioned, or maybe you mentioned it today, I forget, that between the break, perhaps, that you would not recommend that parents give their children iPhones.
Absolutely not.
In that case, yes, I think there's a lot of pressure, that parents are under, certainly.
Well, I think entertainment has a lot to do with it. I think that we have a situation today where doctors, therapists are giving medications to kids for things that they're putting labels on that our culture is inducing. And they're failing to put that into the equation. My kid wouldn't be ADHD if he wasn't 8-10 hours in front of a screen or keyboard every day. He wouldn't have these feelings of insecurity if he wasn't bombarded by bullies on social media or whatever the case may be. And they fail to realize that our kids are getting a full indoctrination with some of the lowest kind of cultural influences that if I would demand that my child steer clear of some of these things and demand that they do other things more productive around the home, that the brain would be wired up in a way that the spirit would be allowed to manifest some of the attributes of Jesus Christ more often. But I don't think parents see it that way. So what we try to do here on this program is more of a preventative maintenance thing like you're doing with the parent coaching. Mm-hmm. What are some of the tools that you would give parents that you talk to that would help them maybe combat some of this parental peer pressure?
Well, the parents have to decide together what they want in the home. Sitting down with parents, the first question you ask is, "What do you want? Mm-hmm. What's your description of a healthy family?" And when they describe that, then you ask, "Well, is that currently happening?" Most often, they say no, which is obviously why if they are living it out, they wouldn't have reached out to us, obviously, because they're crying for help. That's why they've reached out to Shepherd's Hill, and so obviously you work together to move forward with steps to create that. And an example would be a family that there's too much screen time, and that's the common one.
It's a biggie.
It's a biggie. That seems to be the one that it's a surface issue. I don't think that's the main issue. It's because that's easy. It's if everybody's on their devices, you don't have to really engage much, and it's a way to avoid each other. But a recommendation would be to agree together on how often everybody will be on their devices. Trace, I mentioned to you that we have taken custody of two kids. We have a girl now who's 15, and we have very, very strict rules on what can be used on the device, but also how often she can be on it. For example, she uses, I have a guest Wi-Fi, and her device is hooked up to that guest Wi-Fi. And she knows that at 9 o'clock every night, I go on my iPad and I select the router app and I turn off the guest Wi-Fi. And I always joke with my wife that at 9 o'clock, I say, "Lane, count down from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I turn it off, and as when I get to zero, I can hear footsteps because she's turned off and she goes to take her shower.
Yeah.
And there's consistency there.
That's wise.
And so when there's patterns like that and consistency, you begin to find that the void is filled with something else.
Yeah,
And I worked with a family. I'm new to this. So I'm just beginning to get into the rhythm.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, we've experienced this 7 years with two kids, and for us, it was a little easier to do these things because there wasn't the emotion, biological kids. If we had had to deal with these things with our biological kids, I think there would have been the angst with the emotions and the rejection. But it was a lot easier to do it with these kids because there wasn't the the emotional ties. So, but I saw the reaction from the two kids that we took custody of, and so I'm able to envision what it's like for so many families as they as they go through these things. So it's real, and and I'm burdened for it.
Our guest today on Licensed to Parent is Mitch Schultz, part of the parent coaching team here at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Mitch and his wife, Elaine, were guests on last week's program. If you didn't hear that, please visit us online at licensedtoparent.org and check out our program archives. Back with more conversation in just a moment on Licensed to Parent. And Mitch, don't answer now, but I'm going to ask you, what has to happen in a person, and for the sake of this discussion, in a parent, before they typically come to the place of seeking outside support, in this case, parent coaching. So you'll have to stick around to find out his answer. This is Licensed to Parent, back in a moment.
Being a teen in today's culture is tough. Being a parent of a troubled teen can be even tougher. If you feel like pulling your hair out, or worse, your family may be in crisis. Sometimes we make light of our family situations to help us deal with them, but that really doesn't fix the underlying problems. Shepherd's Hill Academy is here to help find the root of the problem, as well as healing and hope. But if residential care is not a fit for you, Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching can provide you with decades of experience from the front lines to help you overcome the challenges your family is facing. And best of all, we meet with you where you are with simple phone calls. Family coaching is a dynamic partnership that helps you discern God's will and reach goals for your family that are biblical. Basically, live the life your family was designed for, and that's no joke. Learn more at helpmytroubledteen.org/coaching.
Hi, this is Ravi Zacharias. It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent. I remember talking to somebody in the entertainment world once who said their entire target audience was an 18-year-old, and typically an 18-year-old male. They said the influence they wield in a culture around with their friends is enormous. So a ministry like this, to rescue those who have been seduced along the way, I cannot say how important this is. And to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
With the generous gifts from people just like you, we're able to provide parents with practical insights to navigate the challenges families face in today's culture, as well as helping troubled teens in our year-long residential program. To learn more and to donate, visit licensedtoparent.org.
Welcome back. This is Licensed to Parent from Shepherd's Hill Academy. LicensedToParent.org is our website. And again, you can hear past programs there and find out more about our outreach, once again, at LicensedToParent.org. Today, we are talking with Mitch Schultz. Mitch and his wife, Elaine, were on last week's program for a different purpose. But what we didn't reveal then and have revealed today is that Mitch is also a new member of the Shepherd's Hill team. And he is heading up our parent coaching at Shepherd's Hill Academy. And Mitch, I asked this right before the break. If my wife and I are doing our level best to try to raise our kids appropriately and things are going haywire, at what point do we probably need to consider calling in a parent coach? What has to happen for that to take place?
Well, I think if you are doing your level best together and the outcome is not to your liking, or you're not seeing the outcomes that you desire, I think that alone is indicator that you need some outside help. Certainly if you're not on the same page, if it's creating tension.
The husband thinks we ought to do it this way. The wife thinks we ought to do it that way.
Well, in that case, then, you're
having
right.
But in that case, having that third party is
sure. Yeah. Or if it's the other way around, too. Yeah, if it's creating tension within the home, I think any time you can get help from the outside, it's wise to do so. And in this case, getting family coaching would be beneficial. If it's creating tension within the home in any way, I believe it's helpful to get help from the outside.
Yeah. Now, real quick, the parent coaching program at Shepherd's Hill is not a ask the answer man type thing, where if you just got a question, you just call it. This is a relationship that you establish with parents.
So yes.
So that there is more a system of accountability and whatnot, and they're working with you over a period of time to try to address
the
situation.
Yeah, when the family connects with us, we establish. I mean, generally they'll call. I'll be connected with them. They'll call Shepherd's Hill, or hopefully through this program, we'll be able to connect with folks. I'll make connection with them and try to understand the situation, and they'll be able to ask some questions from me, and then we'll send some information. They'll have an opportunity to decide number of times and oftentimes through 10, 15 minutes, we can probably agree on the number of sessions that we would need. There's a fee associated with that. And we might agree with either 3-4 sessions that through that relationship that a lot can be done and established. There's an agreement that's signed, that's sent to us, and then there's other information that kind of defines what the relationship will be like.
And I think that's important, because whether through Shepherd's Hill or some other operation, if you are engaging the services of a coach, you want that coach to know you, know something about you, and it's not a 5-minute phone call. Mm-hmm. It's something where you do agree to invest some time, because I mean, obviously, you want the best response out of this. You want success in raising your kids.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good. Well, the thing that excites me most about Mitch coming aboard here to Shepherd's Hill is that he's a male. I mean, we have a crisis of manhood in America today. And what I want to ask you, Mitch, is do you think that there's something that a male coach brings to the table that only a male can bring?
Yeah, I believe so. And what you're referring to perhaps is that that men have deferred this to perhaps the moms or the wives in the homes, and that perhaps it's time for the husbands to take ownership of this. And mm-hmm. and that is the biblical model. And the wives are longing for that. The moms are longing for that. And I've seen that in my pastoral leadership, that in the church as well as in my counseling relationship. And I've seen wives take a deep breath when the husband begins mm-hmm. to understand that that he has a huge burden and privilege. I use that term burden, privilege mm-hmm. almost in the same breath. It is a burden is not a negative term necessarily. There's a privilege that comes with that, and I think when you can speak to the heart of a man and talk to him about that that awesome responsibility that he has to lead the home, and how the wife loves to be cared for, mm-hmm. and how the children want a man to provide that leadership. That's it's an amazing. The security that comes with that is amazing.
Well, when you look at the news and you look at the inner city shootings that are going on, particularly in Chicago and other places, of course, then there's the school shootings. You don't hear a lot of people talking about the fact that these are areas where dads are almost non-existent. And, I'd really like to, more men to accept the fact that they are ordained by God to be the true leaders of their homes. How can parent coaching help men in particular? And I'm not anti-women, but you're a guy and we're having a conversation here. Without them feeling like they have to sacrifice their manhood to benefit from it.
Yeah, Trace, I mean, I guess speak from experience of, our own narrative, our own story mm-hmm. of that. We talked about that in last week's program of how, in leading my family through a crisis, for those early years where my wife was suffering so much and how my children depended so much on me, I think I can address that in that way. But again, we spoke about this a few minutes ago, just the amazing responsibility and privilege that a man has. How do you direct men to that when they've not seen it modeled, when they've not experienced that as children? How do you capture men's heart? I think you have to start biblically. You have to point them to the models in Scripture, mm-hmm. To current contemporary models, books that speak of it. They have to be involved in the church where there are strong men role models, and I was part of a church in Wisconsin that was probably one of the only strong men role model churches that I've really seen where men came to that church because it was such a strong church that modeled what men really are like. And I think that's so personal narrative, biblical narrative modeled as well as community.
Yeah. Obviously, based on what we've been talking about today, dads need to step up to the plate. Parent coaching might be a way to help those dads who weren't mentored themselves in being a good father to get more ammunition for their parenting guns, so to speak. Do you ever coach parents of adult children? Like I've got a son who's 45 years old and he won't clean his room or take. No, I'm not sure.
Exactly. Won't get off the video games.
but I mean, you know, this is a time in our history in America where there are multiple generations living in the house, and it's because the adult kids have come back home to roost. And maybe have extended their adolescence into their 30s
burrow.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Come home to burrow.
is there a ministry that you think you might have as a parent coach to those types of parents?
That's happening more and more, isn't it? You have older kids that are dependent on the parents, and the parents are frustrated with that. And those are family issues, and parents need help with that.
Yeah. I think on the one hand, we may say, well, they're adults. We can't do that anymore. But on the other hand, are they acting like adults?
They're dependents. Mm-hmm. And as long as they're a dependent in your house that you're paying for, then they are a guest in your home at that particular point. And you have no legal or moral obligation to enable them to be the Peter Pan males that exist in America today. Yeah. That's coming from me.
Mitch, if folks want to find out more about the Shepherd's Hill family coaching program, if they want to connect with you, how do they do that?
Through the Shepherd's Hill website.
And there is a link from the Licensed to Parent website directly to that.
Yes.
Okay. Mitch will now have no free time for the rest of his life now that he's signed on for Shepherd's Hill parent coaching.
I might need some coaching after that.
Or therapy.
Our guest today is Mitch Schultz. Again, Mitch and his wife Elaine were on telling more of their life story on last week's program. I would encourage you to go to our website, licensedtoparent.org. Click on the program archives, and you can listen to that conversation to get to know Mitch a little bit better. Mitch, thanks so much for making it a twofer, giving us a second week of your time. We appreciate it.
I enjoyed it very much. Thanks so much, guys.
We'll do it again.
And this is Licensed to Parent, once again, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. In addition to connecting to our coaches at Shepherd's Hill, you can also learn more about our work with troubled teens and listen to those past programs, the past interviews, on our website. That address, once again, is licensedtoparent.org. And I've mentioned this before, but as we approach the end of the year, this is a time when many people make financial contributions to ministries and other nonprofits, and I'd like to invite you to consider joining us in our mission to help troubled teens and their families by becoming one of our ministry partners. Your gift in any amount, whether a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly donation, will go directly toward helping these kids get the help they need at Shepherd's Hill through the Shepherd's Hill Scholarship Fund. And for tax purposes, all donations are tax deductible. You can give securely online today by going to licensedtoparent.org and clicking the donate button at the top of the page. That is our time for today. I'm Rich Rosl, along with Trace Embry, inviting you back again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. See you next time.